Good morning. Good to be with you again. God is good. Amen. Just wanted to give a brief reminder about the Blessed seminar that's starting us next Saturday. We're meeting from 6 to 7:30 the next two Saturdays, and just encourage you to try to carve out that space to come and join us. I think it's an important seminar for you, for those in our church to be a part of as we seek to lean more fully into joining Jesus as he builds his kingdom. We get the privilege of being with Jesus indeed, and being with Jesus means that we get to be a part of what he's doing. And evangelism is a thing that has gone through some significant transition in our culture over the last 20 years, and some of us still have some old mindsets on how to do that and what that looks like. And we want to invite you in to come into the conversation as we reimagine what the Lord is doing and the ways that we can join him in, again, sharing the love of Jesus with those who don't know him yet. So just encourage you again just to set aside the next couple of Saturdays. We will be recording it as well. So if you are unable for whatever reason to be there one or both weeks, we'll have that available online as well for you to participate in or to be able to hear some of the information. God is on the move. I'm amazed at how God continues to build anticipation in me. This has actually been a process of a couple of years now where I feel like the Lord a couple of years ago began to create in me this sense that he was moving in different ways, that he was getting ready to pour out his spirit in a new and fresh way. And for a long time, I kind of fought that anticipation and expectation, right? Because expectation is dangerous. When you begin to expect things, right, there's an opportunity you get disappointed. But I have to admit that God continues to put in me this sense of anticipation. And certainly over the last couple of years, I think we have, as a church, have experienced some of that. We've seen healings that have been rare for us as a church to experience. We've seen a number of people having encounters with Jesus that are kind of just different than again, what we've been experiencing in the past. And we are seeing the opportunity for greater and greater witness as well to be able to share the love of Jesus with more and more people. And so I continue to have this anticipation. And recently, I think the anticipation has come around this idea of spring. I can't get into all the details, but I am amazed right now of how there are several people that are around me, and there are several encounters I personally have had with the Lord about spring. Many of you that have been a part of our church may remember a year ago me preaching a sermon at the end of 2023 about winter. And I feel like 2024, most of that was a winter season for us as a church. But now I am sensing just in the last month a sense of God's spring coming. Yeah, praise the Lord, amen. And so I step into that anticipation of spring with hope. One of the amazing, God has been doing amazing things, but one of the amazing things that I was struck with after a conversation with several people about spring on Friday, I got home to my house and was kind of doing some stuff at my house and whatever, and it's Friday afternoon, and then I went out to check my mail. And as I went out to check my mail, I was struck by a rose bush that was right next to my door. One of my favorite rose bushes. I don't necessarily take care of my roses like they should, but God blesses me with still giving me flowers on occasion. Anyway, walking by my rose bush on January 17th, and there was a bloom, a full flower had bloomed on my rose bush on January 17th. Now, I've been around rose bushes for a long time, and I'm not saying that this is some miraculous event. Maybe it is, I don't know, but I'm just saying that I've seen rose bushes, you know, kick out, you know, leaves Maybe early when you've got a warm winter going on, see the branches begin to kick out, right? And they begin to bud on them and kind of go, right? And then eventually you'll get a bud and then a flower. But I've never seen a flower. No leaves, just a flower. Spring is in the air. But it reminds me as well of the sovereignty of God. A rosebush does what a rosebush does. God has designed it to do so. But also God is sovereign. And if he decided that he would like a rosebush to push out a bloom on January 17th in North America, he can do so. Daniel 4, verses 34 to 35. At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven. What is that, the end of the days? Some of you may know Nebuchadnezzar or know of his story a bit. He's a king that one of the exile kings, right? That God had exiled his people, and Nebuchadnezzar was the king of the nation they were exiled to. Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and no one could interpret it, but, you know, it kind of wasn't fair because he wouldn't tell anybody what the dream was. And said, no, if you're going to tell me what the dream, you know, what the interpretation is, you need to know what the dream actually was. And so Daniel shows on the scene, and God gives him revelation of Nebuchadnezzar's dream interpretation. And then after that, Nebuchadnezzar, at the beginning of this chapter, actually gives praise to God. Amazing who God is and all of this, and just all excited about that. And it's just amazing, this pagan king who's worshiping God, right? And then a little bit later in the chapter, he then, kind of loses sight of who God is and begins to be a little bit arrogant and presumptuous, and then begins to elevate himself and like going and looking around, look at all that I have, look at all that I've done. And he gets very prideful. And so God steps in and humbles him by causing him to have to basically lose his mind and goes out and then after a number of years, his mind comes back to him, and then he speaks these words. I lifted up my eyes to heaven, and my reason returned to me, and I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing, and he does according to his will among the hosts of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say to him, what have you done? Our God is sovereign. He is sovereign naturally. It's just who he is. It's just part of his character. Part of the attributes of God is he is in control. He can't be not in control, right? It's impossible for him not to be sovereign. He just is sovereign. He's logically sovereign in the sense that, you know, he created everything. It makes sense, right? You know, if he created everything, then that means that he probably has power over everything. The creator always has power over the creation, right? But he is sovereign because he is powerful, all powerful. He is omnipotent, and there is nothing that can thwart his will or his plans. Psalm 147, verse 5. Great is our Lord and abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure. And that's the other way and aspect of his sovereignty. The reason that he's sovereign is because he's also omniscient. He knows all things. He's intellectually far superior than all others. Nothing in all of his creation happens without his knowledge and without his awareness. We are struck even in the Sermon on the Mount, how Jesus in chapter 6 of Matthew is talking about how there's not even a bird that falls to the ground that he's not aware of. Every single piece and perspective of his creation, he is aware of and knows what's happening. But his sovereignty is also one of love. He's sovereign because of his amazing love for us. He's not sovereign in the sense that he's going around and forcing everyone to do his will. He's not sovereign in the sense that he's so insecure that he needs to make sure that everybody knows that he's in charge, that everybody has to serve him and to make him happy and do his bidding. This is not the kind of sovereignty that he has. He's a sovereign of love. Where people actually choose to surrender because he is working on their behalf. He's leading and ruling on their behalf. Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord." Right? Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. But he's also sovereign relationally. Despite being transcendent, despite being totally other than us, despite being sovereign, he invites us into relationship. He invites us to freely surrender to his will and his ways. There are some significant implications of God's sovereignty that we should keep in mind. God being sovereign means that God reigns. All of creation is subject to his rule. Psalm 8, verse 3. "When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place." Our sovereign God is the one who has not only created, but he has guided and directed. He has rules and parameters. He has purpose for each and every item of creation. He knows and understands what those things are, and he has given them their limitations as well. Job 38, verses 4 to 11, after Job has been crying out to God and his friends saying, "God, where are you? And come, and I want to defend myself before I've not done any wrong." And then God shows up with this amazing, humbling confrontation with Job. He says, "Where were you, Job, when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy?" I think there's a few verses. Oh, yeah, more. Here we go. "Or who shut in the seas with doors when it burst out from the womb? When I made clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band and prescribed limits for it and set bars and doors and said, 'Thus far shall you come and no farther, and here you shall your proud waves be stayed.'" God didn't just create, but he created with purpose and with limitations and freedoms. The oceans have their boundaries that God has set. The stars have their courses in the skies above that he determined. We have a God who reigns over all of creation. Everything that happens in his creation, he knows, he understands, he expects. Everything in all his creation functions under God's permission and under God's parameters. The amazing and awesome God that we worship is able to choose to do whatever is possible to do, and there is no one that can keep him from doing it. He answers to no one. As I was preparing this message this week, I was struck by the security that God has in his sovereignty. We have a God who reigns, but he does so out of a sense of security. He's secure in who he is. He's secure in his sovereignty. We as human beings have leaders in our lives. We have dictators in our lives. We have people that abuse their power in just ugly ways in our lives that we have to endure year after year. Worked in the grocery store for 17 years and worked under a lot of different leaders and managers, and some of them were great and some of them not so much. But so often what dictates how a leader leads is their confidence in their position, the sense of security that, you know, they know that it's theirs. They don't have to worry about someone under them taking that position. They don't have to worry about losing it in some way, right? Those who are most confident in who they were and their position were the ones that oftentimes led the best. And this is the God of our universe. He doesn't have to try to push us down. He's not worried that somehow we're going to take his spot. He's totally secure. And so he can lead out of that security. He doesn't cling to his divinity and his sovereignty. He doesn't have to throw around his authority. Philippians 2, 6 to 8, when we understand that God is sovereign in all of who he is, this is shocking. But it can only be done by a God who is secure in who he is. God being in very nature, Jesus being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing. By taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. Because God is secure in his sovereignty, he is able to fully serve us, to come and care for us, even when we have not bowed to his reign. He's still willing to bless us. He's still willing to provide for us. And it's amazing as well that God actually shares with humanity some of his authority. He allows us to make a choice. Much of creation really has no choice. It has no ability to process what it's doing, right? It just does what it does because God created it to do it. But there are some in his creation, humanity, who he chose to create a little bit differently, to create in his image, and to give us that choice, to give us some authority over our life. Genesis 1:28. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. God invites us into his authority, into his reigning over all the earth. We have the opportunity to rule with him. A little later in Daniel chapter 7, verse 27, and the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. His kingdom shall be an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him. He is sovereign, he is God, he reigns over all, and he invites humanity to join him in it. He invites humanity to have authority with him over his creation. We don't have all authority, he has all authority, but we do get delegated authority from the Lord. And God gives us the power to use that authority as we choose. Deuteronomy 30, 19 and 20a. This day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God. Why would he have to say choose life unless we actually had a choice? But he invites us to choose life, even though he's given us the authority to not choose life, to choose death if we want. Amazingly, the God of the universe, the one who reigns all over all things, has chosen to allow humanity to choose who we will be, to choose what we will do, to choose how we will live. He has given us responsibility. He's given us the reality that our choices really do matter. The choice is not just some facade. It's not just some game that God is playing with us. Unbelievably, God has given us the ability to make a choice, to use our authority he's given us in the way however we desire, but he's done so with the sense that it really makes a difference. Our actions, good or bad, have an impact on this world, have an impact on our own lives, have an impact on others. In some sense, the proof of that those decisions really do matter is that he also allows us to face real consequences for those choices. 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. As shocking as it may be that we have a God who reigns, a God who is sovereign, who has chosen to delegate some of that authority to his people, to allow creation, humanity, to be able to decide how to use that authority, we have to understand why he did it. He did it because God desired relationship with his creation. He desired community with us. He desired to have a loving relationship with humanity. He created us out of love, but he created us for love. And the way that the universe works, the way that God has created this creation, is that in order for someone to love, to receive love, or to give love, they have to have the free choice to accept and to give it. While the heavens declare the glory of God, the heavens can't love God. Not in the way that we as humanity can, because we've been given this authority. We've been given this a chance. We've been given this choice. He gives us the power to choose not just life, but to choose Him. To choose to receive His love and a choice to give back to Him the love that He has given to us. To love Him in return. Joshua 24:15. The Israelites, after taking the promised land, begin to go into some idol worship, and Joshua calls them back. He says, if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your father served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We get the choice of who we will serve. We get the choice to enter that intimate relationship with our Creator. He gives us the ability to know Him, to understand Him. John 17:3, right? This is salvation, right? This is what it's about, is to know God and to know the one whom He sent. We can understand Him. We can interact with Him. We can know Him relationally, not just in our heads. And we are given a chance to freely worship. As I said towards the beginning of this message, God's sovereignty comes out of His love as well. He wants us to choose Him. He wants us to choose to bow our knees to Him. Not because we're forced to. Not because we have no other choice. But because we are so in love with Him. We are so amazed by Him. We are so in awe of Him. That we willingly, we freely, we exuberantly fall on our knees and say, "You are Lord." Philippians 2, 9 and 10. Therefore, God has highly exalted Him and bestowed on Him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth. It has been said by others before, in this life we have a choice to bow before Jesus willingly or to be forced to bow before Him at the judgment day. The truth of the matter is God is sovereign. He reigns, and we are His creation. But because of His love for us, He's given us authority to choose, authority to choose whether or not we will surrender to Him or not. But He doesn't just say, "Surrender because I am these great things," but He says, "Surrender because, don't you see, I love you." Romans 5:8, right? Even while you were sinners, Christ died for us, right? In the midst of our rebellion, He came. He let go of His position, Jesus, let go of, you know, where He was, to come and to serve us, to care for us, to live among us, to die for us. He says, "I love you and I want you to choose. I want you to choose to receive my love and to respond to my love. I want you to choose because of the great love that I have for you to give your life for me." Worship team, why don't you come on up? Romans 12, again, famous couple of verses here. "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. God wants us to worship him. Indeed, all of creation will someday bow their knee to Jesus as Lord. But he invites us to make the choice freely. He gives us the opportunity in view of God's mercies. Not in view of God's amazing sovereignty and power that he speaks over us and our lives shake. He is a great and awesome God, and he has all of the power of the universe. And at any moment, he could bully us onto our knees. But he loves us. And so he invites us in. He invites us to come and to choose our surrender. In view of God's mercies, to be a willing and a living sacrifice, that as he has served us, we would serve him in return. As we go to a time of response and song, I want to invite you as well to evaluate your own life. In view of God's mercies, have you surrendered? I don't know about you, but you know, I've been a Christian a long time, and I keep finding areas of my life that aren't surrendered. We can thank God for his amazing grace, that I can have the hope and the sense of security that even when certain areas aren't totally surrendered yet, he still knows my heart and he accepts me as I am. But in view of God's mercies, are you living your life for Jesus? Is that the focal point of every aspect of what you're doing in all of your life? Is it the thing that drives you as a parent, as a spouse, as a member of society, as a member of this church? When you're in the grocery store, does you know the idea that in view of God's mercies, I'm going to serve him here, the coffee shop, I'm going to join him in what he's doing and allow his will to trump my ideas of what I should be doing? If God called you to China, are you ready to go? Is your life really surrendered? God loves us like crazy, and he's proven it over and over again. Seeing that bloom on my rose bush. I don't know. I'm sure somebody out there's, oh yeah, that happens all the time. I don't know. It doesn't happen all the time in my life. And I believe that God is able. But he does it to express his love, but also to invite me to surrender. So as we respond in worship, allow the Holy Spirit to reveal those areas that aren't surrendered. And if you have never surrendered any part of your life to Jesus, today's the day. Prayer team is in the back, and we would love to join you in praying about that. So respond during this time, whether it is to surrender your life for the first time or the 100th time or 1,000th time, whatever it may be. Let's do it again. In view of his amazing mercies, his goodness, he reigns. Let's choose to surrender. Amen. All right, let's stand and continue in response. Oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth.
You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babies and infants, you have established strength because of your foes to still the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, also the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, church, for being here with us this morning. Again, if you would like prayer, we would encourage you to see our prayer team in the back. We would love to pray for you. If you'd like to continue to worship, we got one more song to go. We can do that. If you'd like to head out and begin fellowshipping and speaking life over one another, please do so as well. God bless you, church. Have a great Sunday.